This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al majid wal furqan al hamid. A'udhu billahi min al shaytan al rajim. Bismillahi al rahman al rahim. ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الخلق عيال الله وأحب الخلق إلى الله من أحسن إلى عياله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, we are living in a time, era and period of absolute materialism. Leave alone entertainment, even religion has become commercialized. Religious occasions as well, today, unfortunately, have more commercial implications. And I use this as my opening comments to tie it up with my topic, and that is benefiting humanity in its entirety for the pleasure of Allah. So, many people today, while pursuing a degree as well, while there might be an element of human sympathy and human concern, and hence I wish to become a doctor and a physician because there are shortage of physicians, etc. But I'm afraid the overwhelming factor and the thing that really motivates him is the monetary returns. So he pursues a degree, I'm not generalizing, but by and large you will find the thing that motivates the vast majority of people today in the world is in return to their monetary returns. What will I get back? And that is what I will give. Hence, it has become difficult for humans to do favors without taking returns. I was in Perth one day and I was giving a talk, and one brother in the audience asked me an odd question, or I guess a relevant question. He said, Sheikh, Islam discourages interest and usury. Can you give me a logical argument to this? And at that time, I had not read it nor researched it, but Allah put it in my mind. And I gave the answer in the following way. I said, Islam believes sustaining and helping the desperation of others and not exploiting their desperation. The entire system of interest evolves around exploiting and milking the desperation of a man. So I have $200,000 sitting, by the way, I don't. If I had it, well, I don't know what I would have been doing. But anyway, you need a house. That money is dead. It does me nothing. I cannot give you that's the circular system. That's the marketing world. That's the commercial enterprise. That I cannot give you my money, although it's sitting there and it doesn't do me any benefit. On the reverse, you have the skill. You will never take my money and invest it for me. You want it for you and I want it for me. This has created chaos in the world. You know, they say this person went to the lawyer. Nowadays, without giving anything tangible for advice, legal advice, what are the costs of legal advice today? Just to consult an attorney. So anyway, he went to his attorney. He said, how much do you charge? He said, $1,000 for 3 questions. Wow. Isn't that expensive? Yes, you're right, it's expensive. By the way, what's your 3rd question? Those were 2 questions down. How much do I charge? That's a question. Isn't it expensive? Yes, that's a question number 2. So we have become such that the entire world has become commercialized. There are people who do good, make no mistake. But I'm afraid some do it to secure a vote. So they campaign in. They're going house to house with this flags and this banners and do this and that. But then again, there is a hidden motive. There is a man in his shop when you walk in, there is a broad smile, but he loves the money in your pocket. We are asking the youth of today to stand and rise beyond political reasons, beyond commercial agenda, and revive the verse of the Quran. Innama nut'imukum liwajhillah, la nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. That we are out to benefit humanity and add quality to the lives of citizens on this earth. And when you will do that to others, my young boy, see what Allah will do for you. The Quran speaks about a great ruler by the name of Dhulqarnain. And in the tafsir it is said that there were four people who ruled ultimately. Two of whom were believers. One was Dhulqarnain and one was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Sulaiman alayhi salam's kingdom and his dominion. Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Allah, give me such an empire the thought of which mustn't cross the mind and the heart of any human. So vast was his empire. When Bilqis, the woman at that time, tried to impress him, then what was his response? Bal antum bihadiyatikum tafrahun. Go and thrill yourself with what you own. Listen, what my Lord has given me, you cannot dream of it, never mind own it. Dhulqarnain, Allah speaks about it. Now listen to a Muslim king in the true sense of the word, out to benefit his subjects and his citizens with the aim of making life better for others. Like I said, today it's non-existent. Anyone and everyone, there is some hidden agenda. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ayyul a'mali afdal, which is the noblest action? He said, Al-imanu billah, bring faith on Allah and strive in His path. Which slave, the freedom of which slave brings the greatest rank in the eyes of Allah? Anfusuha inda ahliha, that slave which is most beloved to its master. O Nabi of Allah, if I cannot do either of the two, فَإِنْ لَمْ أَفْعَلْ, the Prophet ﷺ said, تُعِينُ صَانِعًا أَوْ تَصْنَعُ لِأَخْرَقْ, help someone who is experiencing difficulty in doing something. So as a businessman, I ask you, you know somebody, Allah has taught you import and export, and alhamdulillah, you've got into the market and you're doing well for yourself. Someone else, you know, we all talk of our humble beginnings. I had a humble beginning. We had nothing in our initial stages. Here comes a man to you. Listen, I want to start importing. No, no, don't waste your time. The legalities and the formalities and the red tape are too much. Where are you going to import? Just buy from me. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of an incident in Muslim Sharif, first volume on page 55. Actually, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar, a Shafi'i scholar, and a commentator of Muslim Sharif, he speaks about this incident, where there was a Sahabi by the name of Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu. He had pledged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he will desire good for every believer. Bayatun Nabiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala nushi li kulli Muslim. So anyway, he sent his slave to go and purchase a horse. The slave goes, purchases the horse and comes. How much did you buy the horse for? He said 300. So Jarir radiallahu anhu said, I think this price, this horse has been underpriced. Take me to the seller and I need to give him more money. He deserves more. This is an absolute horse. Now if we feel, number one, it won't be underpriced to start off. And if perchance it is, you struck a luck, why must you tell the man? Jarir radiallahu anhu said, let's go back. Imagine if these businessmen become a reality in our marketing world, in our social world. Then life will be different. Jarir radiallahu anhu goes to the man, he says, tell me, have you sold this horse to my slave? He says, yes. He says, listen, I think you deserve more. Put it up. Wow, I don't mind, man. £400 or $400. Now go for it more. 500, 600, 700. Imam Nawawi quotes it, until he went till 800 dirhams. More than double the price. And he says, here, take 800. Are you happy? He says, yes, I'm more than happy, man. He walks out of there, people congratulate him, brilliant horse, what you paid, 800. Oh wow, man, you're a fool. I would have got it for 300. He says, I also got it for 300, but I pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will go in the world benefiting others and not myself. And benefiting my brother at this juncture was to give him more than he wanted and more than he expected. The world is desperate for this. تُعِينُ صَانِعًا أَوْ تَصْنَعُ لِأَخْرَقٍ. Help someone. Make life easy for someone. So anyway, Dhul-Qarnayn, Allah speaks of Dhul-Qarnayn, and Allah speaks of three journeys that he undertook. He undertook three journeys. The Quran speaks about it in detail. Really, it's sad that we've never explored the Quran. This is a common message in the Quran. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. The first journey was to the extreme west, where he seen the sun dipping and setting in some murky water. And he found there a nation. And Allah then inspired him. He was not a prophet. Either through the medium of a prophet or through inspiration, Allah told him, إِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ. Either you adopt kindness, إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ. Either you persecute them or you adopt kindness. You can deal with them. He was an absolute authority. Wherever he went, he ruled. So people respected him. He had no rival. He was the ultimate power that ruled. Obviously, he was a great, pious, just ruler. So he said, no, we will deal with them gently. We will politely invite them and then interact with them in a noble way. This is the first journey the Quran speaks about. The second journey was through the extreme east. حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا. The second journey was to the extreme east, where he found the sun rising. And he found the sun rising, and close by there was a nation, a group of people who owned nothing, no clothing, no shelter that could protect them against the heat. The Quran, the commentators of Tafsir say, he had a similar discussion as he had with the first group. And then Allah speaks of the third journey, subhanallah. If only this can become the reality of the Muslim rulers, or any and every such person who has power and authority in himself and can use that to benefit people, to enhance the quality of others without milking them. So the whole system of interest, and then compound interest, and then you are deceived by what? Consolidate your debts. Consolidate your debts. As if that makes life any easier. Einstein was asked, what is the biggest thing that plagued the world after World War II? He said it was compound interest. And that is the way the world is going on. So the man hasn't got $20,000 to buy a car. On interest, he's going to pay $30,000, if not more. The poor are getting poorer. Islam says, seize the opportunity, capitalize, help him. Or enter into some business venture. Secure some for you, some for him. But don't exploit him. The third journey the Quran speaks about, the Quran doesn't define the direction, but the commentators suggest it was north. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ وَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. So he comes by a group of people that are living between two valleys and two mountains, and these people could barely communicate. لا يكادون. They could barely communicate. They said, here is a kind ruler, and we are suffering in our land here. We have the tribes of Gog and Magog, Yajuj and Majuj, that come over here, massacre, loot, kill, commit every crime. Let's ask this kind ruler, he is here, if he could perhaps erect a wall for us and block these nations from coming and massacring and looting us. Now, we commonly say nothing is for free. Nothing is for free. Talk is cheap, money buys the, you know it. Now listen to this Muslim ruler. Listen to his response. He's got authority, he's got power. He's come to a group. He's not there to secure a vote. He's not there to strengthen a political, contact. He found that certain people are desperate. There is a nation that is coming and looting and mugging the people there. So they come to him and they say, فَهَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا. Listen, we will gather all the money we have and we are going to ask you, erect one wall here to block this nation from coming over to us. This great Muslim just ruler says, مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ. Don't insult me by talking of money. Don't insult me by talking of money. I'm here to benefit you. I need you to physically toil and labor with me, and collectively I will do it. Number one. So I don't want anything, no remuneration. Number two, our condition is such that if we do help someone without monetary returns, we don't feel obligated to do a professional job. Why must I maintain precision? I mean, it's a favor. It's a kind gesture. I don't have to be precise. If I'm taking money, then I must be to the T. I must be articulate. I must be profound. I must be competent. I must be diligent in what I do because I'm taking returns. But if I'm doing a favor, that's my kindness. That's my good nature. I'm not obligated. Listen here, he takes no return. He takes no return. Subhanallah, an example for every man in authority and every Muslim ruler. The Quran then describes how he, coupled with others, they physically toil and labor. And they get whatever was available to them there on that particular land. And we believe this place exists. Wherever it is, it does exist. آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا. So he takes sheets of steel and he blocks it between the two mountains and then he pours molten lead and then he melts it and he burns the wall so solid, so professional, such a job that the Quran says, فَمَسْتَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبًا. That they cannot scale this wall nor penetrate it. And after doing everything, he takes nothing in return. And what does he say? هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. Listen, don't thank me, thank the being above. He's made life easy for you. I was a means of something materializing positively in your favor. And he moves on. That is the spirit of a believer. That he moves, he adds quality to the life of people. He enhances their life and he moves on. So we learn from that famous incident in Bukhari Sharif. Of those three people that were stranded in a cave. And every one of them was desperate. And then they made dua to Allah through the medium of their noble deeds. At-tawassul ila Allah bil a'mal as-salihah. Approaching Allah through the medium of your noble deeds. Today, unfortunately, if we are in a crisis, somebody says a phone, he says, well, 10 phones will come out. I need a $20, 20 phone, 20 people will put down $20. But if we ask in the group, is there anyone who has a secret action with Allah, by virtue of which it can rescue us? I'm afraid there isn't one in that group. In fact, our evil starts haunting us. Now the third person in that group, while they were desperate and they couldn't physically move that boulder, he said, Allahumma kana li ujara. Allah, you know very well, and this is a secret between me and you, I had employed the services of few people. فَأَعْطَيْتُهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ. They toiled, they worked, I gave them their due and they went. غَيْرَ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ. But there was one man who worked for me, toiled for me, and before he could take his due, he went away. Now, if that is our condition, if a man works for us and he goes, Number one, we will deny him his due. We will deny him his right. But this pious man said that this man worked for me and he's gone. His money is sitting here. Let me take his money and invest it for him. Subhanallah. I say to you, my brother, you're an employer and you are in authority. You are exploiting the skills of your employee because you want to grow in your business. You say to him, I've bought a new house and my son got married and I've got more expenses and I need to climb the ladder. I ask you, have you reflected? He also is a family man and he also wants to climb the ladder as you climb. Or do you climb by exploiting him? So, oh Allah, this man worked for me and he went. I took his money. I said, either I give him his due or take this money and multiply it for me or multiply it for him. I said, why not multiply it for him? This is Islamic marketing and Islamic business. Talking of Islamic commerce. Today it's the same system with the name Islam. This is Islamic. This is the way we deal. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that hadith in Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent one person with a dinar and told him, go buy a sheep. Urwa radiyallahu anhu. It comes in the first volume. He took the one dinar, he bought a sheep, and he still had change. So what he did was, he bought another sheep. So he had two sheep now, the money was gone. He then sold the one sheep and he got the dinar back. We are also smart, but in the wrong way. We know how to play tricks with the bank. We know how to manipulate. We know how to distort and corrupt. So we're smart, we're making a quick buck here and a quick buck there. There are so many people who've got their hands involved in 10 things. But everywhere they are making money, hence they get no reward. Put your hands in 5 things with the pleasure of Allah and see the barakat that comes in your life. So he's doing some phones on the sideline, he's selling some cars, he's doing this on the sideline. He's got his hand in 10 things. And he just breaks even end of the month. That's the best thing. Anyway, when he came back to the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him the sheep and he gave him the dinar. The Prophet ﷺ said, Subhanallah, how did you do this? He said, I sold it, I got it, and I made the money and I sold that other sheep. The Prophet ﷺ then made dua for him. And trust me, the dua of the Prophet ﷺ will go in the favor of every such person who fears Allah and brings joy to others. That I can make it easy. I gave my Nabi his money back and the sheep. فَكَانَ لَوِ اشْتَرَى تُرَابًا لَرَبِحَ فِيهِ. The Prophet ﷺ then said, Allah, you bless the transactions of this man. Any sale he touches, let it be blessed. Sahaba say, even if he put his hands onto sand, he made money out of it. He had to lay his hands on anything, he seen money. We are not in need of more, we are in need of barakat in what we have. And the system of barakat is to benefit others. Al-khalqu iyalullah. The entire creation are the dependents of Allah. Wa ahabbu al-khalqi ila Allah man ahsana ila iyalihi. And the noblest to Allah is he who can benefit one of his creations. The one who can benefit any creation of Allah. So this man took the money and he invested it. And it grew. When you invest with a good intention, you will see rewards accordingly. It will multiply very quickly for you. And soon he had a valley of animals. He had a herd. He had sheep. He had cattle. He had camels. And this was all the due, the hadith of Bukhari. This was all the returns of that man's salary. Many years later, this man got desperate. And he said, you know what, let me open up my books. Let me check my files. Let me see now. Speak to my accountant. What they say, what's the definition of an accountant? The one who tells you, you have not made the money you thought you made. The one who, with respect, the one who tells you, you have not made the money that you think you've made. Anyway, he looked at it, he says, hey, you know what, I've worked one place, and this man is owing me money, let me go to him. So he goes to him, he says, Ya Abdullah, addi ilayya ajri. Sorry brother, I know you are very busy, I don't wish to offend you, just for the record, many years ago, I was working at your shop, and I worked here, and I didn't take my salary, and I went. You have any records of who I am and any money that is owed to me? Yes, yes, come inside, my brother. كل ما ترى من الإبل والبقر والغنم من أجرك. You see all this cattle, you see all this sheep, you see all this goats, you see all this camels, all this is your salary. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this man was ecstatic. You know, they say when a man, when he wins the lotto, some of them faint and collapse. It's too nice to be true. He said, لا تستهزئ بي. My brother, don't mock me so bad. I know I'll never own something. He said, لا أستهزئ بك. I'm not mocking you. I'm telling you, I took your money and Allah be my witness, I invested it and it grew and this is what I have. He said, may Allah reward you and may Allah be pleased with you. فَأَخَذَهُ فَاسْتَاقَهُ فَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. He took it and he went away. He said it to nobody. He was desperate in his life, trapped up in a cave. Allah forbid, my brother, but the very circumstances of life is, inevitably you'll also find yourself desperate. Maybe not a cave, maybe financially, maybe into the ward of one clinic, maybe into some ICU unit, maybe your son is in some drug rehabilitation. Allah forbid. I'm not here to curse anyone, I'm in no position. What I'm saying, the desperation grips every man. He turned to Allah. He said, Allah, you remember. Allahumma in kuntu fa'altu thalika ibtigha'a wajhik. Allah, you remember that day. This man worked with me and he left. Allah, I told nobody. I took no coverage, no credit between me and you. I ask you, through the medium of this action, O Allah, you grant us deliverance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the boulder moved and they exited from the cave and his life, and so the life of his companions were saved.
إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا.
That we learn to benefit people without the material eye. The Quran speaks of the great incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. When he fled from Mecca, when he fled from Egypt, and he came to Midian. He came to Midian for safety and security. And as he arrives into Midian, the first sight that meets him is a well around which the shepherd had gathered their flock to come and give it water, and two young girls standing at the side in modesty. Now, he's traveled for 8 days on foot. He's hungry, he's thirsty. His composure is not there. I mean, I know for myself, this flight coming from South Africa, you know what, whereas today we're flying in comfort. When you land at the airport and you come out, and if somebody needs any help, you're not in a mind, you cannot recognize the man. With changing of the time zones, yet we travel in comfort, we eat the best, but we are not focused. Here a man has traveled on foot. He is hungry, he knows not his future. And when he comes there, he finds two girls desperate. His sentiments of kindness for humanity doesn't allow him to see these girls stand desperate. Before I go ahead and speak about him, let me add by saying, you and I might also help a stranded woman on the road, but I'm afraid it's to appease our lust. It's to satisfy our evil. So we're helping her for the thrill. You know, I've seen an example of this here. Allah give hidayah to one and all. I was driving one day, and this woman was driving as well. We were driving back home in South Africa. Anyway, you know women drivers, no offense. This sister came and she just cuts the lane and she comes in front of this other person. And he had to apply a sudden brake. And I'm driving on the other lane and I observe this whole thing. And he gets out and he starts swearing and using the most foul language and showing the most unpleasant signs. As he starts overtaking her, he finds it to be a very beautiful woman. Suddenly, that anger went into softness. That frustration into calmness. And forgive me, he started blowing kisses. So there, again, that's a motive. That's the motive. I'm asking you to help a sister stranded without compromising her honor, without jeopardizing her dignity, but being loyal and faithful to one creation of Allah, making life better for her and not appeasing your ego and satisfying your lust. As men, we have this weakness, and my wife always tells it to me. You answer the phone, and then you use vague terminology, and she says, "Who was the woman you were speaking with?" So I said, "But I didn't say Ben or sister or Ukhti. You were very soft in your tone." If only we can be polite with our own wives as we are with strange women, our marriages will never suffer. If only we can be polite with our sisters, with our wives, as we are. Unwittingly, we just tone down. In fact, I say, other women, when they argue also, they sound sweet. When another woman is arguing also, she sounds sweet and polite. And when your wife is polite also, she doesn't sound polite. Isn't that the provocations of the devil? So we do might help a woman stranded, but there are ulterior motives. We are those that will help for the pleasure of the Almighty. Musa alayhi salatu was salam was a chosen selected servant by Allah, never to be overpowered by lust. He took that flock, gave it water, and told those girls, "Off you go." He didn't ask for anything, he didn't look at them, he didn't get attracted to, he controlled himself. Bearing in mind, you are talking of a hungry man. They say a hungry man is an angry man. He's hungry, he's tired, he's exhausted, he knows not his future, he's in a foreign land. But to see two humans desperate compelled him. Today the life we've become, a youngster can see an old man walking in extreme heat. It doesn't mean anything to him. Life has become, there's no more human sentiments left. Talk money, talk return, secure a deal, then it's on, otherwise it just doesn't exist. But then see what Allah does. See what Allah does. The father says, "You've come home early today, my daughters. Yes, we met a very noble man." Well, then if you met a noble man, then nobility demands you invite him home. "Go you, my daughter, go call him and come." Now that is when you do it for the pleasure of Allah, and then Allah does what he has to. So when you will refer a noble proposal to your niece, then you see the boys Allah will bring for your daughter. But that's provided your heart is bigger. فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا فلما جاءه وقص عليه القصص قال لا تخف نجوت من القوم الظالمين. The incident is very long. Musa is brought there. In return, he is then wedded with the daughter of Shu'aib. And thereafter, 10 years later, Allah blesses him with prophethood. One kind gesture opened up the whole future of this man. You don't know. You did one good today. You left one heart happy. You brought a tear of joy to one elderly woman. A dua came out of her. Trust me, your generations will see the benefit of that. Your generations will see it. In one kitab I read, Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, one woman came to him begging. So he looked at her, فَإِذَا هِيَ إِمْرَأَةٌ جَمِيلَةٌ. He looked at her, she was a very beautiful, young, seductive, attractive woman. So he told the ghulam, "Ya ghulam, أَعْتِهَا أَرْبَعَ مِئَةٌ." Listen, give her 400 dirhams. So the ghulam said, the slave said, "Sa'ilatun tas'aluka dirhaman." This is a woman, she's a beggar, she's a pauper, she don't own anything. She'll be happy with one dirham and you have given her 400. Subhanallah, if this can become our vision. He said, "I looked at the beauty of this woman And I looked at her desperation. And I said, let it not be in desperation she goes and sells her honor. I don't want this woman to go and degrade herself because she has the beauty. So men will be attracted towards her. She's desperate. She might land herself up by abusing herself. And I said, rather let me give her 400 dirhams to enrich her. فَعَسَىٰ أَن يَرْغَبَ فِيهَا أَحَدْ فَيَتَزَوَّجُهَا. Hopefully, she will able to preserve her honor and with dignity she will get married. I looked at this woman. I looked at her desperation. I said, she has beauty. Maybe she will go. Desperation كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, desperation can lead to disbelief. I share with you another incident. Again, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of it. And again, to our youth. Really, there is a great contribution you can make here to this country. You are part of them and they are part of you. This is your land. To the economy, to the infrastructure, to life itself here. Enhance the quality of people. Go and see what Sayyidina Umar had established. We talk of, you know, the Minister of Environment and preserving the environment and preserving the trees and preserving nature and making life more meaningful. You study what Umar radiallahu anhu had done in his era. It was him who had established all the bridges, who had dug all the canals. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kana malikun fi man kana qablakum." There was a king in the previous nations. وَكَانَ لَهُ سَاحِرٌ. And this king had a magician. فَلَمَّا كَبِرٌ. When the king aged, when the magician aged, قَالَ لِلْمَلِكِ. He told the king, إِنِّي قَدْ كَبِرْتُ. I am aging now. فَبْعَثْ إِلَيَّ غُلَامًا أُعَلِّمُهُ السِّحْرِ. Send me one young boy. I want to impart to him the skill of magic. Now we find today that the youth are the target of every movement, be it noble or evil, pleasant or otherwise. Anyone who wants to educate a nation is targeting the youth. Number one. Number two, we find that it is important in our matters we also nominate our successors so that there isn't a vacuum. In controlling our affairs, in running our masajid, the Prophet ﷺ made subtle, if not explicit, indications. When that woman came and said, if I come and you're not here, he said, Abu Bakr will be there. Abu Bakr will be there. And when Abu Bakr was in the throes of death, he said, I'm making Umar in charge. And someone told him, what did he say? That I have made Umar in charge. فَإِنْ عَدَلَ فَذَلِكَ ظَنِّي فِيهِ وَإِنْ جَارَ وَبَدَّلَ فَالْخَيْرَ أَرَدْتُهُ. Subhanallah, they were so clean. If Umar lives up the role of justice, then that's my hopes from him. And if he defaults, then Allah knows my intentions were clear. If he defaults, then Allah knows my intentions. Someone told Abu Bakr that you've made Umar in charge. When you were alive, he was so stern. Now you'll be gone, he'll have free reigns. What won't he do to us? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the burden of khilafat will soften him. Because that time it was not an honor, it was a burden. It was not an honor to lead, it was a burden. The responsibility of every citizen, every subject. And when Umar radiallahu anhu was in the throes of death, جَعَلَ الْأَمْرَ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. He left six people in charge and he said, at no cost must my son be nominated. If you have difficulty in nominating, you can get his input, but at no cost do you make him the ruler. Anyway, the king said that I need a young boy. I want to teach him this art. So the king selected one young boy. He says, okay, boy, you are young. You go to this magician and learn from him. So every day this little young boy, innocent, doesn't know what he's learning, but he goes there. And on the way, while he's going, Allah plans differently. As he's going towards this magician, وَكَانَ فِي طَرِيقِهِ إِذَا سَلَكَ رَاهِبٌ. There was a monk. And he was on the divine religion of that time, living a life of worship and solitude and pleasing his creator. So this young boy decided to go sit down. He sat down by this monk. فَسَمِعَ كَلَامَهُ فَأَعْجَبَهُ He heard what this man was saying and he was very impressed. And he said, I really like this here. So he started wiggling his way. He's to go a little while by the king, little while by the monk. But obviously he got delayed. So he told the monk, you know what? Whenever I get to the king, he is saying I'm taking too long. And when I get home, then my family is telling me I'm taking too long. So the monk said, إِذَا خَشِيْتَ أَهْلَكْ فَقُلْ حَبَسَنِي السَّاحِرْ وَإِذَا خَشِيْتَ السَّاحِرْ فَقُلْ حَبَسَنِي أَهْلَكْ When you get delayed at home, tell them I was busy there by the king. And when you get delayed by the king, then tell them I got delayed at home. Anyway, this young boy, innocently, really doesn't know what is the right thing. He was, you know, indoctrinated with this whole thing of magic. A young lad. And he's learning, but at the same time, he's learning this divine religion. So he went here for the speaking a bit of both. One day while he was walking, there was a huge beast that had blocked the passage of people. And people could not move. So this young lad thought to himself, he says, you know what, today is the time. Today is the time I can examine what pleases Allah more. Is it the art of magic or is it the faith of this monk? So he picked up a stone and he said, Allahumma in kana amru al-rahibi ahabba ilayka min amri al-sahir faqtul hadhihi al-dabba. Oh Allah, I ask you that people are stranded. People cannot move. Now, this happens often in traffic. People are jammed up. People join a queue. There's some, you know, chaos in front. If anybody comes out, it becomes road rage. Nobody has calmness and stability to try and bring normality and let the traffic flow and bring some sense of ease to the people. People are restless and edgy and upset. And this boy thought to himself, I wish I can be of benefit to people, a young man. I wish I can be of benefit to these people. I ask you, Allah, in kana amru rahibi ahabba ilayka min amri sahir faqtul hadhihi dabba. If the faith of this monk is more beloved to you than the art of magic, then I ask you, you destroy this animal so that people can walk and life can become easy. He picks up the stone and he throws it. فَقَتَلَهَا He kills this animal once he made dua through the medium of that faith. فَمَضَ النَّاسِ And people could move and advance. He was very happy that he could make life easy for someone. One day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was walking. And out of respect, everybody behind him would stop. There was an elderly woman walking, so Umar radiallahu anhu made a dead stop. Now like I mentioned, if a woman is walking and we stop for the wrong reasons. Umar radiallahu anhu stopped, he halted. People told him, Umar, there are people behind you, you are holding up traffic, can't you move? He said, I appreciate your sentiments for the record. I just want to tell you who this woman is. She's not a first lady. She's greater than a first lady. This woman is Khawla bint Thaqlaba. You know who is Khawla bint Thaqlaba? Let me tell you if you don't know. Khawla bint Thaqlaba was that woman who when her husband divorced her, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, Ya Rasulallah, afna shababi. نثرت له بطني حتى إذا كبرت سني وانقطع ولدي ظاهر مني إن ضممتهم إليه ضاعوا وإن ضممتهم إلي جاعوا This man of mine's husband destroyed my youth. I gave birth to his children. When I lost my beauty and I aged, he divorced me. If I leave my children with him, they'll be neglected. If I leave my children with myself, they won't have food. She's arguing. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the talaq is over. It's done. She says, well, I need concession. If you're not listening, I turn to Allah. وَتَشْتَكِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا And Allah labeled that chapter Mujadala, the chapter on argument. So Umar said, this is that woman whose complaint was recorded, not by any control room, not by any, reporter or any journalist, her words were received in the heavens and the seven skies. It is just but correct that we stop and we halt in the honor of this lady whose discussion became part of revelation in the Quran. Anyway, the people move, and this young boy is so happy. So he goes back to his teacher and he says, "Oh my teacher, monk, today this is what had happened. I made life easy for people. I did something, and regardless of their faith, whatever it is, just to help." The Sahaba said, "Alana fil bahaimi ajrun. Will we be rewarded if we show kindness to animals?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Feed any living creature and paradise is yours. Feed any living creature and paradise is yours." Now look at the teacher. Look at how clean his heart was. He said, "Ay bunayya anta al-yawm afdalu minni." Oh my son, I must admit today you've excelled me. If this is what you've performed as a young boy and that's your talent, you are ahead of me. Wa innaka satubtala. But I'm afraid you will be tested along this way. You will be tested along this way. Now look at, because the zeal this boy had to benefit people. Again, there are many people that are pursuing a degree but with monetary returns. You know what are the charges, consultation charges. And the higher the specialist, wow. كان يبرع الأكمه والأبرص ويداوي الناس من سائر الأدواء. This young boy started curing people born blind, people suffering leprosy, people having any and every illness. People would come to this boy. The hadith is in Muslim Sharif. They would come to him, he would make dua to Allah, and he would be cured. They would be cured just because of his good nature. فَسَمِعَ جَلِيسٌ لِلْمَلِكِ كَانَ قَدْ عَمِيَ. There was one of the king's ministers who had lost his vision, and he said, "I believe there is a young boy that's really curing people. Let me go to him. My brother, every one of us wants to make money. That's human nature. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدِ. You tried the marketing way, you tried the Western way, you tried the way of promoting and selling, and you know where you are, and I know where I am. I am now opening to you an avenue of earning benefit for you, financially, morally, ethically, and in every way. And that is out for the benefit of other people. And then you see how Allah multiplies your sustenance. Allah will still give you, and from different avenues." The minister of the king came. How did he come? أَتَاهُ بِهَدَايَا كَثِيرًا. Now see how Allah provides. Because he was a king's minister, so he had a high position, he came with handsome gifts. His envelope is obviously much more thick, because he's a king's minister. He came with nice, handsome gifts, and he comes and he gives it to this boy. So the boy says, "Now what's all this?" He says, "This is for you in أَنْتَ شَفَيْتَنِي. You cure me, and all these gifts are yours, and I'll give you much more. I will give you much more." I had the opportunity to go to Indonesia after the tsunami. There was an incident of one person, a poor person. Our driver was taking us around and he was showing us different. He was an eyewitness to the tsunami itself. He showed us one person who managed to save one victim. There was a lady that was about to drown and die, and this young man came and saved this woman and saved her, just in her desperation helped her and rescued her. This woman was a very wealthy woman. She came out, she is so grateful, she bought this man a house, a car, and she's furnished his whole life. How Allah can turn the future of a man at one moment. He innocently seen someone in desperation, went to help her, took her out, rescued her, and she in turn appreciated it so much that she's built him a cottage. And she's a poor man who never could drive a car, never mind own a roof. And the whole future of this man has changed. Came with a lot of gifts. He said, "What is this gifts?" He says, "You cure me." Now look at the approach of a Muslim young man. And this is my only appeal to the doctors here. Pursue your degree. Become the dean of the faculty. Excel in physics. But don't take credibility to yourself, attribute it to your creator. This little boy said, La ashfi ahad, innama yashfi Allahu ta'ala. No problem, we will try and treat you, but it's important that I remind you that it is not me who cures, it's my Allah who cures. We will treat you, but it's important that I remind you, it's not me that cures, it is Allah who cures. Okay, make dua. You accept Islam and I will make dua, Allah will cure you. A young boy, just to add value. So he accepts Islam. He then makes dua to Allah, فَرَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بَصَرَهُ. Allah restores the sight of this man. Now, a person who's blind, I read an article of a woman in America who was asked, a blind woman, that if the Almighty restores your sight to you for 1 minute, what would you like to see? We take these sights for granted. If for 1 minute the Almighty gives you your sight back, what sight are you desirous to see? She said, I would love to see a child smile. I would love to see a child smile. Yes, my brother, yes, my sister, that child of yours is smiling daily, but I'm afraid you're too engrossed and you're too occupied. So the child smiles, comes to his dad, runs to his mom, but if he gets a cold shoulder, he runs away. And here a blind woman says, if only the Almighty restores my gaze for a minute or for a second, I would love to see the innocent smile of a child. It has the potential to put an end to the depression of an entire day. Just the innocence of that smile. I heard a very beautiful thing and I've been quoting it. Today, if you analyze the average man today, his mental power is very weak, and that has made us very, very weak. We might have physical strength, we have no mental strength. And the real strength comes from the mental strength. Why? On the other hand, look at a child, look at the mental stress a child has. A small 3-year-old child, he starts playing with his father gets tired, gets onto his dada and his grandfather. Grandfather plays 10, 15 minutes, grandfather gives up. He calls his maternal uncle, his mamaji, gets him busy, 5 minutes, okay, even I'm tired. This little child got 5 adults tired and he's not over. Why? A very big question mark. The reason for this is one, my brother. The child focuses his total ability on what he's doing. Half my strength is regretting my past and my other half is planning my future. So I'm not here. We are not where we are. A child lives for the minute. And today that's the trend of life. Just the potential fears have become depression. If you lose your money, if this, if that. So half we think in there. That's why a person is, you know, at a traffic light and through a red light he goes and he's not focused. A child lives for the minute. If he's playing now and he's got homework after Salah, he won't depress himself about the homework and stop playing. He'll play now till the best. He'll enjoy everything. Child is so natural. Unfortunately, we are busy planning the future and regretting the past, so we can't love the present. We cannot love the present. And what happens? We spend our health. We spend our health to acquire wealth, and in the process we lose our health. Then we spend our wealth to regain our health, and by that time it's over. Think about it. We're spending all our health. Man is toiling from morning to night and 2 shifts and 3 shifts and overtime and this time to make money. And in that he had a heart attack also, and his arteries are blocked also, and he had a bit of a cancer also, and he's going to this physician also. But he's moving, he just needs to get to that retirement. And he gets there, gets his package, and it goes to the clinic or to the medical aid. That's life. Live for the moment. There are 3 days, the Prophet ﷺ said, يَوْمٌ قَدْ مَضَى مَا بِيَدِكَ الشَّيْءِ. The one day is gone, you got nothing out of it. One is tomorrow. كم من مستقبل لغد لا يدركه. Many people wanted to see the sun rise tomorrow, but before the sun set today, they went away. And there's one more day left, and that's the day you are in. فاغتنمه, value it and love for it. Love for it. So anyway, this boy said, I don't need anything. This minister's sight was restored. He goes back to the king. من رد عليك بصرك? Who's restored your sight? Now the minister has learned, Rabbi, my Allah, ولك رب غيري. Since when do you have an Allah besides me? Oh, well, I have an Allah besides you all the time. Who introduced you to this Allah? This young boy who taught me about Allah. This boy didn't go around preaching, make no mistake. He was out to benefit people. So anyway, the king says, well, bring that boy and bring the monk. The boy is brought, the monk is brought. The king tells the monk, either you deny this religion of yours or else I kill you. He says, no, that's impossible. I can't deny my religion. An axe was brought, placed on the center of his head, and his body was split into two. His body was literally split into two. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Do you think the mere recitation of the kalima is entry into Jannah? Reciting the kalima means you got the enrollment form. It doesn't mean you graduated. How foolish if you consider enrollment as graduation. You've now been enrolled that you can graduate. But these things will come your way. Persevere. Then he brings the minister. He says, deny your faith or else I kill you. He says, I cannot deny my faith. The minister is then killed. He calls the young boy. He says, you are curing people? He says, I am not curing, for the record. It's my Allah that cures. Innam inni la ashfi ahad. I never cured. It is only my Allah that cures. And that is my message. The long and short is, beyond religious grounds, add value to the lives of humans. Make it a pleasure for people to live. Make something easy. Waive one formality. And just make it easy. And you see the joy from that man's heart, how it will bring blessings for you. The king tells his ministers, you take this boy now. You take this boy and take him on the zenith of the mountain. And when he's right on the top of the mountain, you drop him. If he denies Islam, bring him back. If not, let him die from the cliff and die. Let him drop and die. فَإِذَا بَلَغْتُمْ ذِرْوَتَهُ. When you reach the zenith, then you ask him. So they take this boy. This boy who was out to please Allah, who had no other motive, who committed no crime, who was an innocent human. As he's walking, today, if you start helping people, they'll say, oh, you're cutting the market, man. You're destroying the sales, man. He's playing cutthroat business, and this one buys it and retails at this price, and this one chops that one, and that one chops this one, and everybody, in the end, you're just trying to cover up your cost. That's what's happening in the commercial world. And Sahaba literally could refer to one another in business. Go to him, he's got better ones. Buy it from him. Sustenance comes from Allah. يا ابن آدم لم أطالبك بعمل غد فلا تسألني عن رزق غد فإني لم أنس من أعصاني فكيف بمن أطاعني. My servant, how strange. I don't ask you for the worship of tomorrow, yet you ask me for the sustenance of tomorrow. I haven't forgotten those who deny me. Where will I ignore those who worship me? فكيف فإني لم أنس من عصاني فكيف بمن أطاعني. As this young boy is walking, innocent, just that he was benefiting people, and with him is a group of people. They had to take him on the zenith of the mountain and drop him. On the way, he makes one dua. He says, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'ita. Allah, you protect me in the manner you deem it correct. Whatever you decide for me, let it happen, Allah. I'm not suggesting what. Allah, you decide. فَرَّجَفَ بِهِمُ الْجَبَلُ. Nabi Sassam says there was a tremor on the mountain, they collapsed and died and he survived. There is an accident, four adults die and the little infant sitting on the lap comes out alive. That's the decision of Allah. There's no logic to it. The adults are all strapped up with their seat belts. The innocent infant sitting there comes out without a scratch, thrown on one side, resting on one cushion, and he is alive and the others die. The choice of the Almighty. They die, وَجَاءَ يَمْشِي إِلَى الْمَلِكِ. He comes back walking to the king. The king said, مَا فُعِلَ بِأَصْحَابِكِ. You were supposed to die, not them. What happened? He said, don't ask me. كَفَانِيهِمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. The being above decided, I did nothing. Okay, no problem. He calls another group of people. He said, take him. فَحْمِلُوهُ فِي قُرْقُورٍ وَتَوَسَّطُوا بِهِ الْبَحْرِ. Take him on this boat. Take him in the center of the ocean. Capsize the boat. If he denies Islam and his religion, well and good. They take him in the center of the ocean. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'ta. Allah, you become sufficient for me. Allah causes the boat to collapse. They die. He comes back safe. وَجَاءَ يَمْشِي إِلَى الْمَلِكِ. The king said, مَا فُعِلَ بِأَصْحَابِكِ. What's happening? He said, listen, king, you are killing civilians. You are killing civilians. These are innocent people. Oh, king, you're targeting me and you are killing them. Come, I tell you how you kill me. You want to kill me? You'll have to listen to how you'll have to kill me. Then you can kill me. خُذْ سَهْمًا مِّنْ كِنَانَتِي. You take one arrow from my quiver. You take one arrow from my quiver. And then the archer will stand there. تَجْمَعُ النَّاسَ فِي سَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ. You gather all the people. The archer will stand there. I will stand here. He will use my arrow from my quiver. And when he releases that arrow on me, he must say, in the name of the Lord of this lad, I've committed no crime. I've committed absolutely no crime. But you choose to kill me. Just that I'm helping humanity. Bismi Rabbi Hadhal Ghulam. In the name of the Lord of this lad, do I release. So the people gathered. Some excited, some disappointed. The crowds are big. The numbers are roaring. The archer stands there. The innocent boy stands here. He holds the arch, he holds the arrow, and he releases. In the name of the Lord of this lad, do I release. The arrow strikes target, hits him on his forehead, on his temple. فَوَقَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَى صُدْغِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ says, the boy in the pain takes his hand and places it on the forehead. And he collapses. As soon as he collapses, he dies. As soon as he dies, the masses stand up and they say, Amanna bi Rabbi hadhal ghulam. We bring iman on the Lord of this boy. We bring iman on the Lord of this boy. The king said, well then, dig a trench, kindle a fire and burn everyone. A trench was dug, a fire was kindled, and people were thrown. Wa udhrima fiha an-niran. The Prophet ﷺ says, amongst those children who spoke in their infancy, a mother came with her suckling child towards this fire. And she was about to jump to save her faith, but she looked at her baby and she had clash of emotions. And she said, can I or shouldn't I? فَتَقَاسَعَتْ. So this child left the chest of his mother. And he said, يَا أُمَّا إِسْبِرِي فَإِنَّكِ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. Oh my mother, what's the reluctancy and the reservation and the skepticism? This fire ultimately is burning, but in reality it is a means of comfort and bliss. Go for it, Allah is with you. This mother then is motivated by her daughter, by her innocent suckling child, and both of them jump into this fire. Really respected brothers and listeners, what I'm saying is, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. Come out to benefit the creation in every field of yours, whatever degree you have. See how you can make life easy for people. Add value to someone's life. Make it easy. The Prophet, in one riwayat I read, where a person had a certain illness, and he went to one pious person and he said, I'm suffering. Can you give me some dua? He said, dig a well where people need water. Before the water will gush from there, Allah will cure you here. He said, immediately I went and I dug a well. I read this in Al-Matjarul Rabih fi Thawabi Amali Salih. It is a quotation of one person. He said, I went to a poor land where people needed water. They didn't have basic sanitation. And I dug this well, which meant basic water for people. And no sooner the water came out, thereafter Allah Ta'ala cured me immediately. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He make us amongst those people who stand up and add value to the lives of people. Add flavor to the Canadian citizens. Add to this country of yours, to the infrastructure. Contribute constructively to the people here and enhance the quality of life, making it that much more pleasant for humans to live on planet Earth. With these words, I conclude, and again I express my gratitude to Sheikh Hussein and the Islamic Foundation of Toronto for hosting me and calling me. I am not deserving of this honor, and really speaking, there are much more profound scholars here in your neighborhood. It would have been better of them to address this congregation, but I trust it is their kind wishes. May Allah Ta'ala reward them. And again, I thank all the brothers that have come here. May Allah Ta'ala reward you for your coming, listening attentively. And as well, we make dua that this program of ours is a success. And let us contribute. Let us contribute as well towards the upkeep of this program, towards the upkeep of the masjid financially. And in every form, let us try and see how we can make our donations and our contributions. May Allah Ta'ala guide the ummah and make us amongst those fortunate people whom are the true well-wishers of humanity in its entirety. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.